Chapter 6, Starfire.
Skolas Icona Security Incident Report. At 0715, gamma-level fluctuations were detected near the perimeter of the Ecclesiarchy Temple. A single Sanctionite was identified, given name Silver. The new arrival shows potential maladjustment or loss of control. Commissarial response underway.
A gentle voice whispered in my inner ear.
Don't you ever sleep?
An ethereal image took a seat at the table beside me. She was collarless, perfect, and her pretty pale blue eyes matched her aura. I slid an arm's length away. McKittrick, why are you here?
I followed you. Are you mad?
Why would I be mad?
I saw what you did to the last guy that visited you without permission.
The last guy tried to compel me. He deserved what he got. She moved closer, smiling in an insanely flirtatious manner.
Maybe I could compel you.
Why haven't you moved on?
I'm your partner. How could I leave you behind?
My partner? You seem confused. She pouted.
I'm not confused. I'm lost.
Trillions of souls had figured it out. Quadrillions? Why couldn't she? How could she be lost? Isn't there a light for you to follow?
There are several, some brighter than others.
She slid her hand towards mine, making it clear which light she sought in the darkness of Psychana. This wasn't how I expected my night to end. My stomach plunged at the thought of McKittrick's ghost chasing after me. A callous feeling chafed at my mind. If only I'd gotten to know the woman in the first place, it might make up for the fact that she was cute and dead. What was your real name?
My given name is Tegan. McKittrick was the name of the asteroid where my father worked. The black ships will go almost anywhere to collect their prizes.
She crossed her translucent arms, waiting for me to reply in kind. I jumped halfway out of my seat at a loud bang, and in an instant, McKittrick's ghost was nowhere to be seen. At the far end of the dining room, the door had slammed open, and a threat of a completely different nature walked in. The young woman wore a black leather combat suit, laser pistol, saber, and the look of somebody that had lost a good night's sleep. She stood a step inside the door, blocking my exit. The dining room between me and the doorway was empty, and I felt bad for the first Sanctionite that stumbled in, looking to break their fast. How did I become so popular? I kept to my mildest tone. Please don't be afraid. The coffee here isn't that bad. The woman glanced around as if I might be speaking to someone else. From across the room, her inverse aura fell short, allowing me the time to admire the form of another sister of the abyss. Dressed in a black bodysuit of flexible dura leather, she appeared screamingly fit with shoulder-length brown hair and piercing blue eyes a shade darker than I'd ever seen. Unlike Delia Barmasset, the young woman's face was free of tattoos and close to perfection in its symmetry. Her gloves were reinforced with bluish bands across the knuckles, hinting at the reception I might get if I thought to leave. I tried again. Please have a seat. Our last reservation just canceled, so there's plenty of room. She smiled and stepped away from the door. Suddenly, my friendly banter was becoming a bad idea. A fething terrible idea, as she walked straight toward me. I stood up, backpedaling away. That's close enough. She halted maybe 20 feet from my table and sat down, saying,
Coffee, please.
Acknowledging the order, a tired chime sounded overhead. A drone crossed the room and set a mug on the table. I waited until she took a sip and got used to the bitter synthetic flavor. Is my collar not strong enough for downtime? As the warden of a prison of one, she shrugged.
Not my call.
I'm Silver. I crossed my arms and waited expectantly for her response. She finally relented.
Mercy.
A fitting name for the pout of her lip and the sharpness of her dark eyes. I looked away, avoiding the dimple that was certain to appear at any moment on the girl's face. Have you named your sword?
What?
She spat. It was nearing 0400, and my thoughts ran furiously in every direction. I own a glaive and have been thinking about names for it. What do you think of Delia? The mention of weapons seemed to pique her interest.
As a name? It had better be an insatiable blade.
I gulped. Insatiable, you say? My power glaive seemed to hold as much tainted energy as I could throw at it, but it had other fine qualities. By its very nature, the long blade was stoic and sharp, solid, and always there for any emergency. Its spirit offered plenty of pent-up energy, but I'd never physically wielded it in anger. I made my choice. Starfire. Mercy sighed.
What's that?
My safe word and the Power Glaive's new name. Starfire 69 was a potent brand of intoxicant back on my homeworld. I never knew anyone in my circle to actually drink the stuff, but it had other interesting uses. Completely ignoring the most important part, Mercy replied,
You have a Power Glaive.
Power Glaives were priceless relics of an earlier, more heroic age. The perfect gift between noble houses. Sure, would you like to see it sometime? As pickup lines went, I couldn't do better than that. She frowned.
Maybe later.
Why are you here?
Security alert. Sensors detected a warp anomaly earlier tonight. A clash of titans.
Sensors across campus would certainly register the woman's sardonic tone. Well then, I'm glad you're here to protect me. Having only just arrived at Psychana, I'm still learning how to bathe without shorting out my collar.
I can tell from here.
She fought it, but a small smile escaped as we both appreciated her jab at my expense. It changed her whole being in an instant. Mercy, I said.
What?
Never mind. How long do I get to enjoy your protection?
Until the end of downtime.
That's how we spent our first night together, sitting on cold benches, drinking bad coffee at a distance. She never came any closer, but our voices bridged the gap between us with unexpected ease. Mercy was 18 and had already spent 2 years training with the Sisters of the Abyss, a contingent pledged to hunt rogue psychers and witches for the Astra Telepathica. A null psyche was the dominant requirement for enlistment, making their recruits entirely effective from the get-go. The genetic trait was even rarer than that of a psyker, and exclusively linked to the female side of our species. Sister seniority brought distinguished postings among the Inquisition, the Imperial Guard, and even the High Lords of Terra. As aspirants, Mercy and her peers were cutting their teeth in Schola Psychana, shepherding first years through their darkest nights. At the Schola's morning chime, I hoped Mercy had a better sense of who and what I was. Genetically, neither of us was entirely human, and our paths were both set by the Imperium. Call me Peric, I said as she rose to leave. Silver is my psyker name. She hesitated.
Mercina.
Mercina, please hold there a moment. Shedding every grain of silver energy into my power glaive 5 floors above, I stood and walked carefully toward her. 4 steps short of my goal, the coffee in my stomach lurched, a blanket of fuzz descended over my eyes, and blessed silence ruled my mind. Feth. Mercy's black-holed presence wasn't as powerful as Delia Barmasset, but close. I'd been to the Abyss countless times before, and if that is all she offered, I was ready to dive right in. My encounter with Rink had left me feeling tainted and out of control. He'd locked me in a cage, sharing a bone-bad vibe, and I didn't want to carry any lingering residue with me. I needed a psychic cleansing. I took a step and another, keeping my eyes locked on hers. Mercy whispered,
What are you doing?
I froze, 2 steps short of her wide-eyed regard, but well within her bubble of sanctity. Mercina, what color are my eyes? She could have picked any color, and I wouldn't have known enough to argue.
Silver.
She stammered. What had I expected? I closed my eyes and held myself perfectly still, basking in her damning, frigid glow, trying to grasp the essence of her repulsive spell in my memory. In moments, the unreal pressure eased, and I heard the scuff of her boot from across the room. I opened my eyes, catching her looking back.
Good morning, Silver.
She winked and scarpered out the door, leaving me to ponder my safe word. Having been psychically cleansed, a quick shower and a fresh uniform had me ready for the coming day. On the way out, I pulled a thick dose of silver energy from Starfire and let it settle around me in a familiar embrace. My channel of dark energy straight from the Immaterium was narrower than most, leading to my parasitic tendencies. My mind bathed in batches of silver power and could shunt plenty wherever I intended. The pallet drones were stacked and waiting outside for the short trip over to the clan Kilhaven Hab. Class 1137 Lima was finishing their breakfast in the dining hall when I arrived, and something had happened during the night to mute their sociability. Even Dawn seemed to hide her eyes and her sultry voice, but I couldn't bear to sit at another table in the vastly empty hall. What? I'm still a part of this class, aren't I? When nobody responded, I slammed my hands on the table and watched them flinch. Feth. Sorry. I took a deep breath and hurried outside. Downtime was over, but I had time to take a long walk before our first class of the day. The Scola pathways were far from empty, and I found myself heading north toward the bastion of the Ecclesiarchy. The garrison block was a perfectly predictable wall to bang one's head upon, and the air handlers seemed a tad sweeter in this part of the city. I'd worked for the Ecclesiarchy back on Fulcrum IV. An influential confessor had helped me navigate a longer path than I would have had otherwise, in exchange for everything that mattered in my life, including my name. If there was one thing I'd learned in the exchange, it was that, in the Imperium of Mankind, any existence worth having was earned. Had McKittrick earned her fate? Lost in thought, I'd circled the broad Ecclesiarchy compound twice by the time Commissar Trasker Belling emerged with Delia Barmasset. Backed by a pair of gun-toting bodyguards, they blocked my path. I halted 20 yards from the massive compound's main entrance and reversed course. The Commissar's sudden appearance was more of a wake-up call than a coincidence. Our Sanctionite collars could be used for many things, one being the ability to track the location of any Psychana student, and I was certain that we were monitored around the clock. There were obvious ways in and out of the Scola Psychana sector, and too many warnings by the staff to stay put for it to be otherwise. Furthermore, there is always a sense of menace when a person you threatened and abused the day before circles your block. Perhaps they thought I was stalking the Commissar, and in a way they would have been right. My hunter's instinct seemed to be at play, and I wanted to know why they thought to babysit me last night, what they knew about the events in the neutral hab blocks, and if there was any chance for escalation or reprisal on their part. I held up my hands in surrender and tried to smile. I'd done nothing wrong and merely wanted to talk to somebody in the know without the unfriendly gazes of my classmates gnawing at me. Belling nodded to Barmasset, and she went back inside the gate, leaving the two armed guards with the veteran Commissar. Belling walked with the slightest limp, a fact no one seemed to have noticed the day before. I kept my eyes on his as he approached and used a neutral tone. Good morning, Commissar Belling. A sliver of heavily filtered natural light bounced off the tall wall beside us, adding an eerie glow to the densely urban avenue. It seemed an unreal mix.
Nothing good about it. Busy night?
He replied. Shrugging, I proceeded carefully. I met one of the minions of Sister Barmasset, but I couldn't fathom why she had decided to visit our hab.
Silver, what is it you want?
I wanted to know if I had offended anyone last night to deserve such special treatment. Commissar Belling chuckled.
I almost feel bad for your inability to enjoy the presence of such perfectly feral creatures.
I agreed. Their ruthless souls are daunting. I can only respect their power and position.
And yet you're here questioning their methods?
Not at all. Simply looking for wisdom to get me through the coming day.
To answer your question, you did not offend, nor could you within the hours of downtime. But occasionally alarms are sounded, and the minions of Barmasset are put into the field. It's a prime opportunity for training and maintaining control of the Sanctionite population.
At least he didn't say thinning in regard to the Psyker population, but the sisters were armed for a good reason. And the alarm last night?
That's none of your business.
It had been enough of my business for them to send a powerful watcher, but I thought better of contradicting the man. At its core, Belling's declaration meant that I was off the hook of whatever went down. I couldn't let the current opportunity go to waste. Commissar, who is Locadio Rink? His eyes narrowed.
Trouble. You would do well to stay away from him.
Well, I hope he's all right. I'd hit the mark and Belling couldn't hide his surprise. I thanked him for his time and headed to my first class of the day.
Silver, you're late,
said Proctor Veruca Roan.
With your history, one would have thought you'd be the first one here.
She stood on a level platform in the middle of a slanted, circular room, the bottom center of a bowl. Every chair was positioned within 20 feet of the central point, and there was only one way in or out past another pair of heavily armed guards. The auditorium could hold at least 100 students, but it was only half full. I'd taken a spot near the back. At least four other Psychana classes shared the auditorium with 1137 Lima. It's one thing to be shamed in front of those you know, and another to be dunked in a pool of strangers. I used my potent camouflage skills to pretend I hadn't heard the proctor's remark, but Round wouldn't miss an opportunity when handed one. Her session focused on the Psyker's inner defenses and the need to bolster our resolve against semi-intelligent warp entities. We were cosmic channels that continuously collected dark energy. Our chaotic essence attracted unwelcome beings that harvested or hunted on this side of the veil, putting us at risk of being possessed or worse. Warp creatures could enter our side of the universe spontaneously, using cosmic weak points, or cross at a designated portal, such as the altar of a warp witch. Others arrived through the open doors of a Psyker's soul. Once here, they acted as parasites, hunters, or sirens of chaos. They turned our dreams into nightmares and our nightmares into catastrophes. Three such creatures had marked my young adult life, and each was a horror beyond any human's comprehension. When it came to learning resolve, there's nothing like firsthand terror to stoke one's will. I'd survived a psychotic, torturous existence long enough to learn from the entities and fight back. Even then, my only sure way of escape was to dive into an unforgiving null bubble and hope I didn't die in the process. After the creatures had been driven out, the mental and physical scars remained along with an unbending goal to never go through the experience again.
Sanctionite Silver, please join me here on the platform so that everyone can enjoy your lesson.
4 dozen curious heads turned and followed me onto the center stage. Several were about my age, most were younger. Hoping to avoid unwanted surprises, my class sat together in a mid-level row. The back row certainly hadn't worked out as planned. As I reached the central stage, Proctor Round circled me like a bouncer at a sub-zero dive.
Silver, roll up your sleeve and show us your dead mark.
A video device zoomed in directly above us, broadcasting the image in full resolution for the entire set. The scar on the inside of my forearm was known as a mocking eagle for the image it conjured in one's head. It had looked far worse before the mark's power had been banished in a suitably harsh ritual by an agent of Ordo Malleus. Round knew the banishment rite, but lost her smile as she viewed the results in person. I received several oohs and ahs from the surrounding rows and a few malevolent hisses.
Hold your opinions. This is merely the result of a poor life choice.
There was nothing mere about it, and there'd never been a choice in receiving the warp creature's mark. The sinister execution had been a witch's idea, not mine. Proctor Round scanned the attentive faces.
Normally, the mark of a warp entity denotes possession and disqualifies one from attending Psychana, but Ordo Malleus does good work. The scar you see is simply a shadow and a warning. The entity is no longer present, nor can it return. Did it have a name?
It took me a moment to realize that Roan was speaking to me, and luckily I'd had this conversation before. Silgaemon the Grave Dancer. It undid me in an instant, turning my reality into a funeral. It was my turn to stare back at my peers, each a dangerous Psyker getting a first-hand look at a new threat. We used the warp, while it used us in ways beyond our imagination. The whispers and the hissing stopped. The room looked to Roan for her follow-up, waiting on the verdict. She opened and closed her mouth, unable to form a sentence. That jagged piece of information must have been left out of my Psychana dossier. I'd been another person entirely when the torturous encounter had occurred. At the time, I'd thought myself a power, but I was simply a troublesome pawn, then and now. Eventually, Roan posed the proper pursuit.
How did you survive a grave dancer?
I hadn't known that there might be more than one, but the answer to that was simple. I searched the eyes of 4 dozen gawkers and pushed a short telepathic message outward into the eagerly waiting minds. I didn't. Several younger teens shrieked, but I found Dawn smiling proudly while Jinx offered me a wave and a thumbs up for the well-timed effect. Proctor Round retook control of the lesson.
Silver, thank you for sharing, and please take a seat. We'll discuss your experiences in detail later.